Burns Huggins will come to read to us from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 25 to 30, after which Jamie will address us. But before Burns comes up, let's pray, recalling something that Paul wrote to his friends in the Church of Rome. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Father God, we pray for understanding as we read and listen to your word. And let us be joyful with hope, remembering that we can be certain of your promise to protect and redeem your people. In the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
The reading for today is taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for my souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray as we start. Father God, as we study this passage, please make the truth of your message clear to us. We pray for the work of your Holy Spirit in me as I speak and in all of us as we hear and respond to the passage today. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in today's passage, Jesus says, "I will give you rest." It seems appropriate to be looking at a passage that discusses rest during the summer holiday season. Maybe you're looking forward to a break in the next few weeks, or maybe you just had one. Or maybe the summer's a really busy time for you, and you're looking forward to a break in a few weeks' time once it's over. Whatever the case, rest is a great thing to be offered. A break from something that's tiring us. We're going to take a moment to stop and think about three gracious gifts from God in this passage. All beginning with R, rest being the third of them. The other two being revelation and relationship. Revelation, relationship, rest. Let's start with revelation, the act of making something known. And the something that we're talking about here is quite important. It's God's message. The passage begins with Jesus praying to his Father. To put the prayer in context, in the previous verses, Matthew 11, 20 to 24, Jesus has denounced cities in which much of his ministry has taken place and in which he performed many miracles, and yet in which the inhabitants had largely rejected his message of repentance. Here in verses 25 to 26, Jesus praises his Father that those who understand and accept the message are not necessarily those who are the most intellectual and best educated. He says, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what you were pleased to do." The truth can be right in front of our eyes, but we can be blind to seeing it, no matter how intelligent we are. The truth of Jesus' message should have been clear to those he performed the miracles in front of, and yet they rejected it. Our comprehension of the truth of the gospel message does not rely on our intellect, but on God graciously revealing it to us, which is why a little child may grasp it, while an intellectual heavyweight may not. The initiative in revealing truth is with God. That's very clear. But as far as our part goes, when God's message is put in front of us, will we be those who turn away from and reject God's message, or will we be those who embrace and accept it and ask God to reveal more to us? It's thought-provoking to be given two options to weigh up, isn't it? Like the classic question, would you rather fight a duck-sized horse or 100 horse-sized or 100 duck-sized horses? Or how about, would you rather wear the same underwear for a week or the same socks for a month? Or would you rather only be able to go out in the daytime or in the nighttime? As we read the prayer that Jesus prays in verses 25 to 26, would we rather be those who are seen as wise and learned, yet know nothing of the truth of God? Or would we rather be of lowly position and have these truths revealed to us? It's not to say that being learned and knowing the things of God are mutually exclusive. Many Christian men and women have been respected as highly intellectual people. But if it comes down to the choice, which is more important, worldly knowledge and admiration, or knowledge and understanding of God's message to us? I hope you'll agree that knowing God's message is far more valuable. If you do agree, and you're someone who'd say that you don't yet know God's saving message, why not take the chance to find out more? God speaks to us through his word in the Bible. Take some time to hear it and ask God to reveal the truth of Jesus' ministry and mission to you as you do. If you'd like to do that, there are plenty of opportunities to do that here at Emmanuel and dig into it. And if you'd like to know more, do ask after the service. If you're not convinced that it's better to know God's message than to be someone deemed wise and learned, I'm hopeful that as we continue to consider what else Jesus has to say in this passage, you'll be convinced otherwise. Having praised his Father for graciously revealing the gospel message, Jesus next talks about revealing God the Father himself, which leads us to our next R, relationship. In verse 27, Jesus says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Jesus says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father." Authority over all things have been handed to Jesus by the Father. And Jesus goes on to say, "No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Jesus knows the Father, and the Father knows him. Knowing someone only comes from a relationship. It's different from just knowing of someone. We probably all know of, for example, the actor Tom Hanks, but probably none of us know him personally. We're unlikely to be able to impart any deeper information than a quick Google search would reveal. Jesus doesn't just know of the Father, he knows him intimately, being one with him within the Trinity. And Jesus' knowledge of the Father is unique. If you want to get to know me, you can come and say hello after the service. But we can't just do that with God the Father. Jesus is the only man who knows the Father, and he knows him because of the essence of his very being. Jesus' intimate knowledge of God the Father and his authority mean that he, and he alone, can bring people to know the Father. As he says, "No one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Jesus uniquely has both of the key things needed to reveal the Father to us. He knows him himself, and he's been given the authority to do so. As he said, all things have been committed to him by his Father. Hence, although we cannot know the Father through our own deep thinking or initiative, we can know him through Jesus. So if we're looking for divine insight to come to know the one true God, Jesus is the only one to go to. Through him, we can not only know of God the Father, not only know about him, through Jesus, we can know the Father. We can know him. We can have he offers us relationship. If we're Christians, these verses should remind us that in offering us the chance to know the Father, Jesus offers us something very special, access to a relationship that is highly exclusive and to which we have no rightful claim to access on our own. It's also helpful to be reminded this is about more than just knowing about God. It's about knowing God, relationship with him. This leads us onto the final section of today's passage, in which Jesus calls weary people to come to him and find a relationship in which we'll find true rest. So we're going to move on to the last of the three R's that I mentioned at the start, rest. Let's take a look back at verses 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." A yoke, if you don't know, is a beam used to hitch a pair of animals, often oxen, to a load. The yoke was commonly used as a metaphor, it was commonly used metaphorically in relation to obedience to the Jewish law. The burden of the religious legalism of the Pharisees probably weighed heavily on many of those hearing Jesus' teaching at the time. And the burden of guilt, of never being able to live a life good enough, is still one that can weigh heavily today. It's not just guilt that can make us feel weary and burdened in our fallen world, though. Any number of things may make us feel weary and burdened. Longing for meaning, unfulfilled ambitions, broken relationships, struggling to make ends meet, illness, loneliness, busyness, struggling to live up to others' expectations, the list could go on and on. To weary and burdened people, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He offers to replace the burdensome loads that weigh us down with his yoke, and his yoke, rather than weighing us down, is easy and light. In taking Jesus' yoke, following him and his direction, we will find rest. You might think, how does taking on Jesus' yoke unburden me? I'd rather take my own yoke, thank you very much, and go the way that I want to go. However, it's through the human race following our own paths rather than God's that our fallen world and the burdens that it lays upon us came about. Adam and Eve were deceived into disbelieving God and going their own way. They were deceived into thinking that they themselves could be better trusted with knowing what was best for them. The devil continues to attempt to trick us today into thinking that God's way isn't the best for us, that we're better in trusting ourselves to ourselves rather than to God. The devil wants us to think that Jesus' yoke is heavy and that we can make for ourselves our own light yoke, when in fact it's the other way round. Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light and brings us rest. Any other yoke leads us away from rest. There's no doubting Jesus' wisdom and power to bring us genuine rest. The Father has committed all things to him, and he's the one of whom John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." He was an integral part of the creation of all things, ourselves included, and in the rest that followed on the seventh day. He has the wisdom and power to bring us rest. Should we doubt his good intentions for us, we only have to look to the cross, where Jesus was willing to suffer and give up his life for our best interests. If we take up Jesus' invitation to come to him for rest, we face our current world with both Jesus' wisdom for the way that we should go and his strength to face the problems that we encounter. As we go, Jesus offers to teach us. "Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, he says. As we learn from him, things which had burdened us may fade into unimportance as our priorities align with his. Some struggles will be easier to face, being confident that we can rely on his strength. We will continue to face struggles in our current world, and we will stumble and fall. But Jesus is gentle and bears with us. He says, I am gentle and humble in heart. He has complete understanding of our human condition. Despite being fully God, he humbled himself to come and live among us. Fully human, facing the struggles of life in our fallen world, and walking a path which led him to giving up his life on the cross for our sake. Ultimately, the rest that we experience in this life is only a foretaste of the eternal rest that Jesus offers to those who trust him. If we come to Jesus and take his yoke, we can know that whatever the future holds, we will one day enjoy life with him, with no more of the wearisome struggles of our current fallen creation, in a world made new. All this won for us through Jesus' death on the cross. This is the greatest part of the gift of rest that he offers us. It's great to have a rest to look forward to when we're doing something hard, and even better once we get to taking that rest. Think of laying in the shade with a cool drink after labouring in the hot sun, or resting your head as you lay down after a very long day's work, or sinking into a warm chair with your feet up after being stuck out in the wet and cold. The perfect antidote to the hardships of this world is the rest for our very souls that Jesus offers us here, and it's something not to be missed out on. If you've never come to Jesus, you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. It's an offer that's open to you. Whatever you may find burdening you today, Jesus offers respite and a fresh way ahead bound up with him. For those of us who are seeking to follow Jesus, the reminder of the rest that he offers, culminating in perfect rest with him, should warm our hearts. These verses are also a valuable reminder that the way to rest in Jesus is in taking his easy and light yoke and learning from him, not in heading off on our own path, trying to face struggles through our own strength alone. As we face the struggles of this world, let's go with his direction, aided by his strength and wisdom, and let's let him teach us, trusting that he knows how to bring us true rest and looking to the ultimate rest that we have ahead of us in God's new creation. So to conclude, we've considered three R's graciously given by God: revelation, understanding of God's message, which can be missed by the keenest minded and most important among us, and yet may be grasped by the lowliest and humblest; relationship, the possibility of knowing the Father, which is only possible through Jesus, because of his unique and intimate relationship with his Father; rest, easing of the burdens that we face in our fallen world when we come to Jesus and take his yoke, which will be made complete when those who come to Jesus enjoy perfect rest in God's new creation. Let's pray as we finish. Lord God, thank you for Jesus and for his death on the cross for our sake. Please help us to understand more and more your plan for all things. Help us to know you and what pleases you better through Christ. And help us to find the rest for our souls that Jesus offers us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.